Before we begin, why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you because you are good, because you love us, even when many times all of our actions don't deserve your love. But you love us. The cross shows us that. Jesus shows us that. And this morning, God, as we read your word, I pray that as you speak to us through your word, that you would show us that you love us as you guide us closer to you. So speak to us now as we read. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we started a new series last week, and we're going to be for a couple weeks just hanging out on this idea of sin and what is wrong with us on the inside. The idea for this series, the big idea kind of came from Ben. It's a little bit hot, tiny little bit hot. That's not where the idea for the series came from. The big idea from the series came from just this reoccurring theme in myself and I think in everybody that it's really hard for us to change. I mean, truly change. We can, you know, put on better makeup and better clothes and try to act better, but underneath who we really are, yeah, it kind of stays the same. I mean, we find ourselves fighting against the same sins year after year after year, and we hide them better sometimes, but we still are kind of the same people underneath. It's hard for us to change, and the reason why, what we saw last week, the reason why it's hard for us to change is because we normally mistake the symptoms for the problem. We mistake the symptoms for the cause. We look at what's on the outside and say, well, that's the problem. You have a bad word problem, or you have a drinking problem, or you have a sexual problem, or you have, we look at the sin as the problem. What we saw last week is Jesus talking to a group of people who were really good people on the outside, and he said, actually, your true problem is on the inside. Your hearts are horribly, horribly far from the Father, but you look like everything is good on the outside. So what we normally think is the problem, the sin on the outside, Jesus, what we saw last week, Jesus says, no, that's not the problem. The problem is what's on the inside. And so as we dig into this issue of how does God change us, how can we live as changed people, what I hope and what I pray will happen as we go through these next few weeks is that God will open up our hearts. That's why the series is called Open Heart Surgery, that God will open up our hearts and that he will radically transform us from the inside out. What we're going to look at today, I hope, will transform how we see our sin. So when you see sin in your life, from this day forward, you'll look at it differently. I'm hoping that what we see today will teach us to be helped by our sin, to let our sin help us. You'll see what I mean by that in a moment. But in order to get there, this is not a message. Last week, I gave the big idea at the beginning and said, if you're tired, well, you got the message. I'm sorry, that's not this week. So if you're tired, I apologize. But here's what I need. I need you to hang with me and think with me throughout the whole message because each piece of it builds on each other. So this week is we're not going to be there till we get to the very end kind of message. So if you would think with me today, here's what I want us to think about. The question is, where do our sins come from? And more specifically, where do my sins come from? Or for you, where do your sins come from? So think about your sins and start thinking, okay, where does that actually come from? Because what we'll see is as we look at their source, we'll find out something about ourselves. So after last week, when we looked at Jesus saying, okay, what's on the outside really doesn't matter. It can be good, it can be bad. That's not the issue. The issue is what's on the inside in the heart. So then, what do we do with our sin on the outside? Can we then ignore it? Is Jesus giving us permission at the end of, you know, what we read last week to say, okay, no big deal. So I just blow up in rage at my family all the time. Jesus says that's not my problem. My problem's on the inside. So I can just ignore the sin on the outside. It's not the problem. It's the symptom. Getting to the bottom of my sin isn't going to be by looking at my sin. Can I just ignore what's on the outside? Well, the problem with going to that conclusion, the Bible doesn't ignore sin. In fact, the Bible spends, especially the New Testament, spends a bulk of its time talking about our sin, these external things on the outside. So if that's not really the true problem, But the Bible talks so much about it. Well, what do we do with our sin on the outside? We can't ignore it. If the Bible spends so much time looking at the sin on the outside, in spite of the fact that Jesus would say that's not the true problem, then we should imitate the Bible's example and also give a lot of attention to our sin on the outside. And here's why. We'll look at some texts that talk about this, but here's the big idea. But we're going to continue building after this, so stay with me. Here's the big idea. Our sin, the reason we should spend so much time looking at our sin and pay attention to it, just like the Bible does, is because our sin is a huge clue. One of the biggest clues as to what is actually going on the inside. Our sin is a gigantic clue about what is going on in our heart. And as we saw last time, what is going on in our heart is the most important thing to God. And then what comes out of us, our sin, Jesus will say in what we're going to read today, is actually the window into our heart. It shows us what's going on the inside of us. Our sin is the symptoms. And in the same way, last time we talked about you have a friend who shows up to your house and he's all pale, and not just pale, but kind of gray looking and out of breath after walking up three steps into your home, and you say, well, you have some problems. You have a color problem, and you have a breathing problem. You should exercise and put some makeup on. You should change the color and the breathing issues that you have. No, you would probably call an ambulance, because probably your friend has a heart attack. But you get there not by ignoring the symptoms. You actually look at the symptoms and use them as a clue to tell you what's going on the inside. So even though the symptom, the color problem that your friend has, or the out being out of breath after walking up three-step problem that your friend has, is not the actual problem, they're symptoms, they're clues, they tell you what's going on the inside. Our sins, in the same way, show us what the actual underlying problem is in our hearts. And they can be extremely helpful. They're not to be ignored and said, oh, that's not really my problem. My problem is something else. Yeah, but that will show you what your actual problem is. It's like in, if you ever watch the detective shows, I think this is the same way from way back in the day until now. They kind of follow the same pattern that you know, a cadaver is found, and they're not sure, you know, do we need detectives on this one, or is this just a natural thing? And then they find what? Something like a bullet hole. Oh, well, this was a murder, obviously, so we need detectives. See, the bullet hole was a clue. In the same way, our sin is a clue that tells us there's something else going on here. There's something else, and the clue can lead us to the problem. Here's what Jesus says. Go to Luke 6. What Jesus says is that our actions, our words, our thoughts, what we do, what comes out of us, actually comes from what is inside of us. So, this is kind of a bad news day, because if you've ever done something or said something, kind of snapped at your spouse, and then said, oh, I'm sorry, honey, that's not how I feel. That's not who I really am. I did that. I can't believe I did that. That's not me. And then this is a bad day for you, especially if you're sitting with your spouse, because if you've done that and then and you've gotten off the hook because of saying, and this happened to me, you know, I've said, I'm sorry, that's not me. That doesn't reflect what's really going on inside of me, the way I reacted, that what came out of me, don't know where that came from. You're all sitting there looking at me like you've never said that. What Jesus is going to say, has said, and we're going to read, is, well, actually what came out of you is a very good reflection of what's going on inside of you. And that little snap of rage that you then backed off of and said, oh, I'm sorry, that's not really what, that actually was a window into exactly what's going on inside of our hearts. Our sin is a symptom of our sickness. Look at Luke 6, verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. So, he's introducing another metaphor. We've talked about cadavers and bullets and clues. We've talked about now someone who might be in the really close to having a heart attack and be pale and out of breath. And so here's a third metaphor. Kind of, sorry to overload you with metaphors, but for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. And then he says, okay, what does that mean? The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What comes out of us is representative of what's inside of us. And the reason why it flashes out and then we pull back and say, oh, did anybody see what I just did, what I just said, how I reacted, the expression that flashed across my face? Good. I don't want them to know that's what's inside of me. Or it comes out of us and we say, that's not who I really am. I'm sorry. You know, you stand before the judge and that's not who I am. Don't punish me for that action. Well, Jesus says what came out of you is what's inside of you. When our evil hearts, the evil that's in our hearts produces bad stuff. And the good in our hearts produces good stuff. And so, when bad stuff comes out of us, it's a clue as to what's going on inside of us. It comes from within us. And then, I want to look at a couple other verses in case you say, well, and as I was thinking through it this week, I thought, okay, is that just an isolated teaching? I mean, it's pretty clear there, but is this a pattern in Jesus' teaching, or is this an isolated teaching? Look over at John 14. I would say it's probably not an isolated teaching. I'm a computer programmer, so I like logical conditional statements where you say, if this happens, then this other thing is going to happen. I like things like black and white things like that. So look at what Jesus says here. And follow the logic in it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, what is love? Is love an action? No. Love is an emotion. It's an emotional connection. If we love Jesus, if that's in our hearts, if he's the most important thing to us, if he is the most valuable thing to us, if that relationship is real for us, if we love him, then what'll happen? We'll obey him. We'll obey him in the same way that, well, somebody in a romantic relationship kind of just like, what do you want to do? Well, I'll do whatever. Where do you want to eat? I hate that kind of food, but I would love to go there with you. Well, you love someone, and you just naturally, whatever you say, I don't care. That's the way it is, but to the nth degree with Jesus. If you love me, he says, if I'm the most important thing, the most valuable thing in your heart, well, you'll obey me. It'll just come out of you. You see the kind of the connection from that verse and the verse in Luke? What's in our hearts will produce what we do. One more, and this is to me was the clincher, because this is like the big all-encompassing verse that Jesus says, here is what's really important. Look at Matthew 22. So Matthew 22, and we'll look at verse 36. There's a question, and then Jesus answers it. Matthew 22, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, okay, so this is going to be the greatest commandment in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Saying, okay, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What should I do? And what does Jesus come back and say? It's not a doing thing. It's an emotional, relational connection to me and to other people. Don't want you to just serve your neighbors. Don't want you to just take clothing or food or be nice because you have to be nice. I want you to love them. I want you to do it because you love them. I want you to love me. I want you to love God. I want you to love other people. I want you to feel a deep emotional, relational connection to God and to other people. Those are the greatest commandments. That's what you should do, even though it's not a doing. Well, then how does that relate to what we do? Look at how he ends the last verse, the last verse in that little section. On these two commandments, so loving God, loving others, depend all the law and the prophets. What was the law for the Jewish people? It's a list of over 600 some odd commandments. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. That was the law. And what did Jesus say? Where does that come from? Loving God, loving other people. What's in your heart will produce obedience to God's law. or it will produce disobedience to God's law. Isn't that incredible? What we are on the inside produces what comes out of us. So in other words, if we love God, we will obey Him. If we don't obey God, in the moments when you and I don't obey God, what's that really showing us? What's the clue? What's the symptom? What's it really showing us about what's on the inside of us? Well, I'm not loving God. And if I'm not loving God, then, now make this logical leap with me. If I'm not loving God, what am I loving? Me? Something else. Anything else. Probably myself, ultimately, but there might be layers of things that I'm loving, but it's not God. There's something else in my heart that I'm loving more than God. And the Bible calls that, it's the I word, idols. An idol is something that takes God's place in our heart. We looked at that in Ezekiel. We've looked at that in every series that we've talked about, so we're not going to dig into it today. But an idol is something that takes God's place at the center of our hearts. It's something we love more than God. And so if I'm not loving God, I'm not obeying God. That means I'm loving something else, and I'm actually obeying that something else. My obedience is coming from love. It's just not love of God and love of others. It's coming from love of an idol. So actually, what we do shows us what's in our heart. It shows us what we're really loving. Love for God produces obedience. Well, and can you obey God and not love God? On the outside, you can, many times. I do that many times. I obey God on the outside. And on the inside, it's not love for God that's motivating me. It's I don't want, you know, you to think poorly of me, so I'll obey the way I should obey, right? But true obedience, it isn't just heart, but it's not just action, but it's motivation. It's why we're doing it. That can only be produced by love for God. So when I truly obey God, it's because I am loving God. But when I'm loving or valuing something else, myself or something else, well, that will produce disobedience to God eventually. It will produce sin. And then here's how we use our sin to show us what's really going on, how we use the symptom of our sin to show us what's really going on inside of our heart. Now, this is a game that you play with yourself, and you don't play this with for other people. This is not a game that you can sit and watch other people sin and say, I wonder what's going on in their heart. That's not our role. That's not what we do. You don't know what's going on in their heart. So play this game with just you. It's just like playing solitaire. You don't join, you don't play this game for other people. You play it for yourself. But here's what you do. You can use your sin. I can use my sin to see what's inside of my heart. And actually, when we start thinking about it that way, our sin can become the greatest tool that the Holy Spirit uses to show us what is actually going on inside of our hearts. We can use our sin to see what our idols are. We can use our sin to see what we're loving instead of God. And then our sin can actually become quite helpful. Not that you're going to run out and sin just so you can see what's in your heart, but when you do sin, looking at your sin can become extremely helpful, because then you look at it and say, wait a second, I did that. What's underneath that? What am I loving more than God that's making me disobey God? And it shows us who we are. And our sin shows us who we are on the inside. And it shows us what, and even when you say to your spouse, hey, I'm sorry, that wasn't me. And they say, okay, yeah, I understand, that wasn't you. You love me, that wasn't anger that came out of you. You're not angry. We look inside and say, wait a second, that did come out of me. That is in me. What's going on in my heart? It could show us what's really inside of us. And our sin could show us what we are truly loving and valuing and treasuring in that moment that made us commit that action or feel that way or say those words. We can see what the idol is that's behind our sin. So how does that work? I went through the Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. There's a list of sins there that Paul gives. And so I just picked some of the sins out that he talks about. And so how do you use this exercise if it comes from inside and shows us what's really on the inside and what we're really loving more than God? What do you do when you lie? Well, do we have a lying problem? Yes, but you take a step back. What's actually the real problem? A lot of times when I lie, it's because I want people to think better of me than I actually deserve for them to think, or than I think that they're going to think of me. So I stretch the truth a little bit. I exaggerate. I lie. I deceive. So what is that? Who's my idol in that moment? Who am I loving? It's me. I love me. I want you to think well of me. So I'm worshiping me by obeying me and lying and not obeying God. When anger and irritations and impatience comes out of us, what's that showing us that's in our heart? What are we worshiping? Normally, a lot of times, it's whatever the person that you're angry or impatient or irritated at is keeping you from doing. So when my kid gets angry because I'm dragging my feet and we're not able to go play soccer or basketball, what's he really worshiping? What's his God in that moment? Soccer or basketball. That's what he's worshiping. And it's producing worship out of him, which looks like anger because he's not able to do it. When I steal things, what am I worshiping? Maybe I'm worshiping, I don't have a stealing problem. I have a lot of other problems. I'm using the first person at this. This isn't like confessional time for me, okay? This is an example. So there are law enforcement people in the audience. I just want to make paid for my iPad. When I steal things, what is that saying? What am I worshiping? What's really going on in my heart? Maybe I'm worshiping physical things. Maybe I'm worshiping the security that comes with having more. What about laziness? When I don't work, when I just want to, when I'm lazy, who am I worshiping? I'm worshiping my comfort. Ultimately, worshiping myself. It always goes back to self. So you were right with that answer. It always goes back to self. When I have bitterness inside of me, when I see bitterness in my heart, who is my God? Who am I worshiping with that bitterness? Who am I loving instead of the true God by disobeying Him, by having bitterness? Why do I have bitterness? Normally, it's because you've offended me, and you've offended me severely, and I'm upset about that. And so, I'm harboring bitterness in my heart. Why? Because you have devalued who? Me. Me. Who is my God? It's me. It's showing me what I'm worshiping. My sin leads me to see what I'm worshiping. When I see sexual sin come out of me, whether it's with another person or in my thoughts or with a screen, what am I worshiping? Well, maybe it's the act, or maybe it's the person, or maybe it's the pleasure, maybe it's myself. When there's greediness in me, and I want more than I need, and I buy more than I need, and my credit card reflects that, what am I worshiping? I'm worshiping stuff. I'm worshiping myself. See our idols show up in what we do, in our sin. Our sin shows us what's really in our hearts, who we're really loving instead of God, because Jesus said, when you love me, you obey me. When I don't obey you, I'm loving something else. What about drunkenness, drugs, being high? Idol is escape many times. That's what we're worshiping. So, what should we do with all of this? If our sin is ultimately not the problem, that's last week, what's really important is what's on the inside, but our sin is the hugest clue, is that a word? The biggest clue that shows us what's going on inside of our hearts, that shows us what the actual problem is. What should we do when sin comes out of us? We should be like the detective shows, and we should stop everything and start investigating. We should say, wait a second. What's happening? Here's the sin. Okay, and then ask the question, what is the idol that I'm worshiping right now? What am I loving more than God that's making me do that, react this way, do this action, say those words, have this attitude? What is it? Nobody has to know that you're thinking that, so you can be honest. You can just think it to yourself. What is the idol that, and if you're totally blocked, you could say, God, would your spirit help guide me in this? Show me what I'm worshiping other than you. And you know what? That's a prayer that God delights to answer, to show us what our idols are. And then what do we do? What do God's people, are God's people always called to do when they see idols in their hearts that they're loving more than God? Called to repent. We're called to go to God, and in that moment, this can all happen in your head in just a couple of instants, or it can happen as you're talking to your spouse or to your child, or it can happen in your head, or it can happen with your voice, but go to God and say, God, I'm confessing to you that I'm worshiping this or myself or this other thing more than you, and it's producing this sin in me. I am an idolater. I'm committing idolatry in this moment. Confess that to God, and then let your idolatry drive you to Jesus. As you look inside your heart and you see, my problem isn't just this sin that I can't stop doing or this sin that I can't stop feeling, these desires that I can't make go away. My problem is actually worse than that. It's I have an idol problem in my heart. I'm loving something more than God, and it's producing that out of me. I am a wicked, wicked person, worse than I thought that I was. Let that drive you to Jesus. Let that desperation drive you to Jesus. If you are not a Christian, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, here is what that looks like. You look inside and you say, I'm a worse person than I even thought that I was. I don't just have a sin problem, I have an idolatry problem. I love things that aren't God. I love myself. I love other things. I love Him very little, and that's seen by the sin that's coming out of me. I need a Savior. I need someone to forgive me of that idolatry. I need someone to change my heart so that I actually can start loving God more than all these other things. And that is why you come to Jesus and you say, I want to follow you. I'll repent. I'll be baptized. I'll enter into a relationship with you. And you forgive me and you change my heart and you put your Spirit inside of me. And now I can start loving you more than these other things, and I can start worshiping you. And my sin problem will start going away as I start worshiping you. In this community, when you're ready to make that decision, just tell someone. You can repent, you can be baptized, you can enter into Jesus. If you are a Christian already, how does your idolatry, how does your sin that shows you your heart, that shows you your idol, how does that drive you to Jesus? When you say, I'm a worse person than I thought I was. I don't just have this sin problem, this anger problem. I have a heart problem. I have an idol problem. How does that drive you to Jesus? What we just celebrated in the cross. In that moment, there's many ways it drives us to Jesus, but the biggest, most helpful way that I've found is by thanking Him in that moment for His forgiveness. In that moment, saying, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Thank you, Jesus. The Father's wrath has been completely satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. I was once your enemy. Now I'm seated at your table. Thank you, Jesus. It's remembering and thanking Him for His forgiveness in that moment. As you confess your idolatry to Him, saying, thank you for forgiving me. That all can happen. Saying, what's my idol? I see my sin. What's my idol? God, I confess that I'm loving something else more than you. And now, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of that. Even in this moment when I'm just seeing it fresh in my heart, thank you for having forgiven me of that already. Listen, that can happen in 30 seconds in your mind. But as you thank Jesus for forgiving you, it makes the cross more real, because you see again and you feel again how real what Jesus did on the cross is, because you see your sin and you see His forgiveness next to each other. Let your sin drive you to your idolatry, and let that drive you to the cross. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together? Last week we had an assignment. It wasn't a fun assignment. This week's is not nearly as bad as last week's, but it's still not a fun one. Here's what I would like to ask you to do for this week only. Every time you sin, whether it's a sin someone else sees or you just see it yourself, a thought, a feeling, words, action, whatever, just ask yourself in your mind your question, what's the idol that's behind this sin? Just ask yourself that and go through that thought process. What's the idol that's behind this sin? What am I loving that's making me do this? Why don't we pray together and we'll sing. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. God, I pray that as we let our sin show us what's in our hearts, that you would show us our idols, what we truly are loving and valuing more than you, and that our sin would open up our eyes to what we are loving in our hearts. And that would drive us to the cross. We thank you for your forgiveness, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.